Welcome to today's episode of Journey to There, exploring the intersection between personal and business growth. And now your hosts, Tracy DeForge and Russ Reba.
Hey, Tracy, when you sent me the show topic for today, my jaw dropped. You booked an unbelievable guest. Today we have someone who has made a decision to exit social media. Now, I don't think I've said those three words together in a sentence, exit social media. Not yet, not in today's time. I could see this in the future, but I see
don't you wish you had said it?
I see some cutting edge stuff here. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba, and you are listening to the Journey to There radio show, the intersection between personal and business growth. I am so proud to say that we are now featured on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, iTunes, as well as Empower Radio, Fridays at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. JourneyToThere.com is our website. And today, we have the pleasure of welcoming to the show an entrepreneur, a digital strategist, author, Sarah Bray. Can we add awesome risk taker to the bio, Sarah?
Sure. If social media qualifies me, leaving social media qualifies me that way.
I would say so.
I think it's impressive. That's why I wanted to have you on the show today, not only because I'm so impressed daily by your work. I mean, for anyone who is listening and not driving but might just happen to be near a computer, definitely check out sarahjbray.com and just look at all the fabulousness that is Sarah. But other than
let me just chime in here. When you put in sarahjbray.com, it's Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, then J, then Bray, B-R-A-Y.com. Go ahead.
I love Russ. You always do the details.
I got to take care of business here.
But Sarah, so when I open the show, I always like to talk about the reason behind the topic, because for me, I like to explain how I derived the topic. And the topic today is face-to-face, the lost art of connecting. And it's something that for me has been probably irritating me, if you will, in the back of my mind for, I would say, years, but really, really recently this past year. And it's for me, it's all about when I've been in situations where I feel like the people with me should be present and they're all on their phones. Or, I mean, in fact, one time I was at lunch, I was visiting one of my best friends in Nashville, so I don't get to see her that often. I don't live there. And there were three of us having lunch. Two of us were on our phone, and she sent us a text that said, "Look up." And so I don't know if I need to explain it any more than that. I mean, that was such a reality check, and just really seeing and experiencing some of the things that have been floating around social media recently. If I did not feel like I had to use it as a marketing resource for both my consulting business and absolutely for our show, I just think I would totally go off the cliff of social media. And then when I found out, because we're friends on Facebook, that you were going to be exiting social media and you're a digital strategist for a living, I thought that is a huge risk, and I have got to hear more about this.
Wait, now, are you no longer friends on Facebook?
Well, I mean, if she activates her Facebook account again.
It's just idle, right?
Well, I haven't deactivated it. It just says something like, Sarah is no longer Facebooking. That's actually my name on Twitter. Sarah is not tweeting is my name.
Oh my gosh, I love that. So, yes, but we are technically friends before Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to delete my profiles, but then I was warned that that probably wasn't a good idea being part of the tech community, just because people sometimes squat on names and do bad things with them. So I still have my pages. Yeah. I'm just not on there.
So that's good to know. So one tip is definitely if you choose to take this big step, either personally or professionally, to remember that not to actually deactivate your account, but to just put it in a holding pattern, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Not totally off the grid.
I don't know if you want to share any of the exact details that led up to your decision, but there are a couple things I'd love for our listeners to hear about. maybe the aha moment, if not the exact details, because that's up to you as to whether or not you want to share those, but really more around the aha moment and then what you thought going forward, like, okay, I really want to do this, but if I do, what about this? If I do, what about that? And then how you walked through that thought pattern and got to the other side of saying, I'm cool with it. I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Those are really good questions. I think I'll touch really generally on the why, and it was just a couple of situations. One of them was with some friends of mine that got into a huge argument about politics and social justice, and
I'm right
all
there
of that
with
stuff
you.
That started. Yeah, it started on Facebook, but then it went into real life, and it was really jarring and uncomfortable for me. I actually ended up leaving an event because I was the only person there who had a different opinion than all of the other, you know.
So you left the physical event where you were?
I did. I left.
So you exited not only social media, but you exited the group of friends in that moment because you were disturbed by the crossing over of the content of what was happening on social media coming into play face-to-face.
Right. Yeah, it was. It's kind of funny. It's kind of like how people are in their cars when they're driving around and they're just such jerks to everybody else because you're in your car and you don't really see the other people around you as human beings.
Yeah, you're in the protection of that. Yeah, you're hiding behind the glass and the doors and the steering wheel and you're a different person. I see it all the time.
I like to call it the anonymity bubble.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But then when that bleeds over into real life and you realize these are human beings that you're talking to, it's not just this space that thinks differently than you, but you still treat them as if they're that anonymous person. It is really disturbing. So that was a big frustration. And then the other one was based on being kind of a Twitter personality. Someone kind of got a little obsessed with me and it got a little bit uncomfortable.
Creepy.
And scary. And
you had a stalker?
Well, it was more of a emotional stalker rather than a physical, you know, in
oh
my
God, that's worse
face.
Actually. Yeah. Mm. Yuck.
Yeah. I hesitate to say more because I don't want him to feel.
Oh, yeah,
no, we don't.
Yeah, just share what you're comfortable with for sure. We're really more interested in the after effects.
Yeah, and I think our listeners just kind of want to know, you know, where the inspiration came from, not with any, you know, major details or anything, but it sounds to me like we're leading up to something where this has turned into a positive thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, and the reason that I left, it wasn't entirely because of those things. It was because the thought came into my head, well, what if I left? And I just felt such relief at that I was like, you know what? I might just use this as an opportunity to leave and to see what happens.
I love
and
it.
To experiment with what that means.
Love it.
And so it actually has been, the first couple of weeks were hard because you kind of ask yourself this question, if the main part of the way that I'm publicly perceived is through these channels, then do I really exist if I'm not on them? You know, I mean, that's kind of like a ridiculous question, but it felt that way for a few weeks.
Almost
for
like
sure.
like a soul searching of, is my digital persona my actual persona, or
right.
Are they intermixed? Are they separate? And it's almost like what I'm hearing you say is like you wanted to actually step away from the social media as an opportunity to really identify whether the digital persona and the real human being, Sarah Bray, who everyone adores that knows you, were either interchangeable or separate. Does that sound right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And also I wanted to see the impact that would have on my relationships. It's interesting that we build all of these, we kind of curate our lives parallel to each other. And sometimes we pop over and comment on someone else's life curation that they've done. But we're really paying attention to our own selves. We're not paying a whole lot of attention to, other people. unless it's to compare ourselves with them. And so I wanted to see what it was like if, for example, I'm out and I'm doing something with my kids and I take a picture of them or something. If I have nowhere to put that, I have to think of a person to share it with, not just this sort of here world, here's this thing, but hey, I'm thinking of you right now and I want to connect with you in this moment and see what that was like instead. So yeah.
Okay, so now I want to ask this from a female on, well, it just has nothing to do with gender. I always,
oh, yeah, I was going
to
say, oh, okay, I'll leave
Russ
the room.
Russ hates it, whatever. I just wanted to make sure he was still there. But all three of us, actually, this is not gender specific. We all work from home primarily. And mm-hmm. I am curious to know, because it's so easy to isolate when you work from home, mm-hmm. and it's so easy to spend time on the computer more than you spend time with a human when you work from home. And so I'm mm-hmm. curious, as both from a motivational perspective and an actual experience perspective, was one of the motivations to have more, because it sounds like from what you were saying, having more human interface exchange, and since, and tell us the window of time it's been since you exited, and has that actually happened more, less, or as much as you thought it would?
That's a really good question. I think it's been about 5 weeks. As far as the face-to-face interaction, I did think that that was originally one of the things that I wanted more of. But I'm actually going through an interesting time in the physical location of where I live, realizing that my friendships are not actually here. They're all over the country. I actually did this exercise this past week that mapped out the relationships in my life, because I'm trying to create better boundaries and really focus on the people who are closest to me. And so the first circle has me, and then the next circle around me has my immediate family, John and my three kids. The next circle around that has my best friends. The next circle around that has close friends. And then around that are communities that I really care about. And then around that are, you know, people that I like. And then around that is everybody else.
My gosh, I thought I was an organized freak.
Right, I know, I love it. Right?
I'm seeing the whole chart on a piece of paper here with all the circles.
I wish we had a visual whiteboard, but I am seeing it though, because you're so right when you, and this is one of the things about this whole lost art of connecting and this whole face-to-face. Sadly, I think face-to-face has now become more of a challenge when it used to be the norm. And we are, as human beings, we are wired to be connected to other human beings in a close geographic presence. And I don't just mean like city to city. I mean like in your space physically, we are wired to be that way. I mean, there's no other mm-hmm. species that sits at home in their office and yeah. creates relationships over a computer. I mean, that just, you know, no warm-blooded mammal, I would venture to guess, is wired that way.
Let me throw this in. Let me throw this in, because, you know, we're speaking, the three of us are within a generation where we have the ability to analyze what we had and what we have now. So, and I think that's what gave you the ability to do what you're doing, whereas our kids, the generation below us, they, just like you said, Tracy, you know, I could be downstairs and my 10-year-old upstairs, and he would just as easily text me a question when, you know, I'm just a flight of stairs down there, you know, get in front of my face, let's talk. And the kids mm-hmm. today, oh God, I sound old. Oh, those kids today.
these kids these days.
The next generation, they don't understand the value. They don't see the value. They don't experience the same value that you get out of a face-to-face. When we go to a restaurant and order, I have my 6-year-old and my 10-year-old, they will tell the person at the register or the waitress what they want, because I feel that they need that face-to-face. They need that human interaction where they're not texting their taco order or their, you know, cheeseburger order.
Well, and here's the thing, too. I've actually been thinking about this from both perspectives because, as Russ was mentioning, you know, we grew up in the age where there was no option initially except for face-to-face communications. And I'm going to flip this to the business side for a moment in that when I originally came up on the sales side of the broadcast media business and then ultimately managed sales teams in the offices that I was overseeing, the thing that was a very interesting twist was I had the opportunity to be there when the literal fax machine was put into offices. Now, I'm not saying that to freaking date myself. I'm saying it to make a point. And the point is that all of a sudden, the quality of the relationships that the salespeople had previously built with their clients began to deteriorate because instead of getting in their car and driving over, in our case, because it was a media business, we needed to drop off proofs of things. We were on cassette to play things. I mean, I know this all sounds hard to believe, but it really was. But to a bigger point, though, all of that created a relationship-building opportunity so that you weren't always in somebody's face trying to sell them something. You were selling them something. You sold them something. Then you were following up with what you sold, and then you were following up with what you sold and how it turned out. And there was all this camaraderie and rapport that was built outside of the actual sales process. It is so difficult to hire quality salespeople in 2016. It's one of the biggest challenges my clients face is hiring really great salespeople because the lack of ability or motivation to communicate in a face-to-face way with business and clients, it just is pretty much like off the map.
I can't do it. I can't. I am not a salesperson. I'm a creative person, but I do run a company, and there are times where I have to sell. And I will admit, I hide behind the keyboard. Everything is through email. And I've made a ton of sales through email. It's just not in me to sell. So it works both ways. But I think you're, Sarah, onto something cutting edge. And I would love to see, I would love to check back in and see how this could succeed, because I see an interview here with like Fast Company and Sarah Bray and how she made a successful business out of staying off the social media grid. That would it just it amazes me.
Well, and two, I want to say, you go ahead first because I'm going to follow up with what Russ said, but I want to hear what you said first.
Well, I am really interested in not only the face-to-face conversations, but in investing your time in the people who are the most important to you. And whether that is from a business perspective or whether that is from a personal perspective, you have those same circles around yourself. And a lot of times social media kind of forces us to spend all of our time on the fringes, investing in people who, you know, they may see us once on Facebook or something like that, and they may click or not. But we're actually neglecting those core relationships in the center and letting things grow out from there. And that's really the difference in the way that I'm focusing right now, is that I'm not spending all of my time with these people who have a very low level of commitment to what I'm doing or a low level of interest. I'm spending the most time with the people who have the most interest, investing in them, and then outward. So it's a different way of thinking about it, but I'm really interested to see where it goes.
And that's so I'm not going to say what I was going to say now because you said something so much better and much more important. But what I am going to respond to that is that it reminds me of a very interesting conversation that I literally had the opportunity to have less than 24 hours ago with a girlfriend of mine. And the subject of the conversation still feels so surreal to me that we would even be having this tone of a conversation, but it went something like this. It was like, you know what's so interesting? Our entire friendship has been built on face-to-face because she's not on social media at all. Wow. So I met her through my business, but not as a client. So I like to say that because a lot of my clients turn into my friends, and sometimes I wonder if I have any friends outside my clients, but this one I do. And we met through my business, but not as a result of wanting to do business. Then we met again through a running group that we have, and we got to really know each other a lot more personally. And then she became really interested in exploring her creativity, which technically, I guess, comes back around to my other business. However, the whole point of it is that we actually had a conversation that started based on the fact that we actually built a friendship face to face, which led into how bizarre that in today's world that we have to say it like that. And then I had a conversation with her about why she, not only is she not on Facebook, but she hasn't been on Facebook for years. And her response was so simple, but it was so poignant. She said, "Why would I want to be friends with somebody on the computer that doesn't want to be friends with me in person?" I was like, that's very interesting. She's like, if you want, and then she followed it up by saying, if you want to get to know me, then get to know me. But if you just want to be my friend on the internet, I'm not interested. And that's what I'm hearing you say to a degree, that that's what you're exploring right now, really putting an investment in the people that want to get to know you as Sarah Bray, the person, not Sarah Bray, the Twitter handle.
Yep. It's very true. And it's funny because last week was my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
And we all know that Facebook, thank you. Facebook is the way that we get happy on our birthday because everybody posts on our wall, right?
And as we count the number of likes and posts to determine how popular we are.
Right. It's like, oh, man, all these people really care about me. But then people don't call you. They don't do anything else. It's like, oh, well, that was my birthday thing. It's
you know what? I'll tell you, I do not have my birthday posted on Facebook, but I do have so many friends that wish me a happy birthday on Facebook. So they don't know because they receive some kind of, you know, hey, it's Russ's birthday today. They know because within my circle of friends, they know it's my birthday. And of course, they see other friends posting. It's, to me, it's more of an organic happy birthday than me letting Facebook know and send out to my whole group of friends that to remind them it's my birthday. So it's funny how you say it that way, because I don't like to post that kind of stuff. I'm not looking for the happy birthdays or anything. I just want to see them come.
I just like to sincerely apologize for missing your birthday because I didn't know.
By the way, Sarah, my birthday was last week as well.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh my God, I was kidding. Are you serious? Okay then. Well, I was just like,
here's the funny thing. Here's the sad thing, Tracy. I'll show you the text where you texted me happy birthday.
Oh, so thank God. Oh God. Thank goodness. Because I was really like, I mean, you can see me right now. My face is red and my bouncy chair is like an overdrive. Oh, thank goodness. And I would like to say in my own defense that I emailed Sarah on her birthday, or perhaps text, not sure which. Then I said, I want to wish you a happy birthday since you're not on Facebook.
There you go.
Yes. Well, and I really appreciated that. And that is something that I did happily discover, is that if your wall's not there, then people will find another way to contact you. And it will feel a lot more meaningful, like you mentioned, Russ, that even if maybe they were reminded by Facebook.
Well, I'm just such a junkie. I still like out. I'm a junkie. I still like people to post on that. But I haven't exited it yet. So I'm just, you know, true confessions over here. Although along with that true confession, I also have to reveal the fact that when people start having this conversation, so how this is like, I try to pride myself on being authentic. So I'm really coming off the cuff here with a revelation, is that when people start talking about things like social media and things and how frustrating and that topics like what we're talking about right now, my first go-to response is, I only use it for business. If I didn't have to use it for business, I definitely wouldn't use it. And then I start sitting there thinking about going, I think I might have just lied. So I have some self-searching to do myself. However, I did want to point out that we are not the only people actually having this conversation. I did find online that there are some other people getting just as either annoyed, fed up, withdrawn, or just over it, so to speak. And I was very surprised by the statistics that show 30% of Facebook users choose not to log in daily. 64% of Twitter users are inactive each month, and 65% of Google Plus users are inactive each month. And this means that 491 million active users, 491 million active users on Facebook alone take somewhat of a break each month.
Very interesting. That? Very interesting.
I would never, if you were wagering with me like in Las Vegas right now, I would have lost that bet.
Well, here's my take on that. I'm actually proud of the fact that I do not log on to Facebook anymore every day. I do check in, but I don't check in like where I let people know that I'm at Starbucks or anything. I don't even go to Starbucks.
No.
But I do check in every now and then, but I'm so busy that I don't have time to log in every day. And I'm glad, I don't know how some of these people do it. How do they get their jobs done? All right, we're going to take a break. We're chatting today. And I'm saying chatting. We're not tweeting. We're not Facebooking today. We are chatting today
we're
with
talking.
Sarah Bray. And you can connect with her online at sarahjbray.com. She spells it S-A-R-A-H-J, and then Bray is B-R-A-Y.com. More with Sarah on the Journey to Their radio show next.
Is the only thing keeping you from launching your podcast not knowing how? Let our award-winning team of veteran broadcasters relieve the overwhelm of launching, managing, and growing your show. You create the content and let the experts take the stress out of the rest. Contact us at produceyourpodcast.com for a free 15-minute consultation. produceyourpodcast.com.
Take your business personally. Journey to There.
We're back with Sarah Bray, our guest on Journey to There. And the topic today is face-to-face, the lost art of connecting. And are we coming back to where we started? Tracy, you were talking about statistics about social media and how we use it today. And we want to hear some real-life statistics, correct?
Right. So, Sarah, one of the things I really want us to cover is the idea of there's so many people whose reasons they don't leave social media is because they are afraid it will impact the growth of your business. Has there been enough time yet for you to realize or see any trends of whether it has hurt or helped your business?
Well, that's really interesting because I didn't leave without a lifeline to people. I have basically two ways that I interact with people online. And one of them is through a community that I host called Gathered. It's based on a book that I wrote called Gather the People. And it's like a digital co-working space where we create our work out loud and encourage each other that way.
So this is like a closed, that's like a closed community.
Yeah, we have like 261 people.
Okay.
It's intimate. And then I have my mailing list that I run, which is, it's really letters about what I'm thinking about, what it means to be human on the internet, how our design and marketing choices affect people, including ourselves. And so me leaving social media is actually allowing me to focus more on these people, these relationships that are the most interested in the things that I'm interested in, the most receptive, the people who read everything that I write and who contribute with their own perspective, helping me to further grow in my understanding of things. So after leaving social media, one thing that I discovered is that my mailing list has grown probably twice as fast as it has in the past. It's only been 5 weeks.
Huge.
So it's not, it is growing quite quickly. It has really been phenomenal for me. It'll be interesting. I'm working on a couple of book concepts right now, and I'm creating them within that community. And one of them is called Designing Connection that I'm writing, co-writing with my team at Yes And. We do front-end design and development and digital strategy. And so as I'm creating that out loud with them, it will be really interesting to me when it's ready for that book to release. Will the support of that community, will the support of my mailing list community do what I think that it's going to do, which is put that book in the hands of more people and the right people, or will it not? And so I think we'll see, but I'm really fascinated by the possibility for that.
All right.
More to be revealed.
Yes, and I could see a second episode here with Sarah Bray. Tracy, you got a quick takeaway here? Because we're running out of time, and I know you got to get back on Facebook.
Well, it's not my birthday, so I'm good. It's the only day I really indulge. Okay, so I'm going to hit the high notes of this very quickly because there's so much valuable information in the show itself. But I think the one thing I'm going to choose to speak to that we didn't hit was if you come off Facebook, what are you going to do with the time that you've spent on Facebook? So I'm going to offer some quick alternatives. You can find new ways to spend that 30 minutes by sending a handwritten note to a client or a friend or a person that you want to that you value their relationship. I mean, the whole lost art of the handwritten note. I mean,
yeah,
actually,
I like it.
It's a stamp, a piece of paper, an envelope, people. It's super easy. And it means a lot. And then in addition to that, if your issue is with discipline and like, well, how I'd like to stay on social media, but I'm an addict and so I can't get off of it, is that there is a, because you know me, I like to give you an action item of how to change, not just to change, is there is a free software app called Pomodoro, P-O-M-O-D-O-R-O, that actually allows you to set a timer so you can, on your computer and your phone, so you can set a timer and say like 20 minutes social media and I'm done. Now it's your discipline to turn off the timer and turn off the social media. I'm just giving you the tools. What you do with them, that's up to you.
An awesome episode. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us today. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba. Log on to JourneyToThere.com today. Take a listen to our past episodes. Catch us on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, and so much more. We are happy to hang out with you at the intersection between personal and business growth on the next inspiring episode.
We hope you've enjoyed today's journey, and we invite you to visit JourneyToThere.com to download full episodes, find show notes, and connect with us by signing up for our newsletter. We want to hear from you. Give us feedback or ask any questions by clicking or tapping Contact Us. That's JourneyToThere.com.